Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfupi on Kaya 959. Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
It's All Things Careers Corner here on Kaya Biz on this Monday evening after 7 o'clock. I'm quite excited. I must tell you, this is one of my favorite features because the truth is, not only do we come from families, we form relationships and friendships, but what you do with your life, the career that you build, how it is that you spend your time, how it is you derive your income has a major role on your life. People work on average 40 hours a week. We work for an average of 40 years. So it's quite critical that we really do not only take full responsibility for the careers that we want to create for ourselves, but also actively participate in shaping them, molding them, and really creating the jobs that we want. And speaking of creating the jobs that we want, this is where the landscape has led us to. We're well aware of concepts and themes like the gig economy, which were growing way before the pandemic, but are certainly rife now on the back of the pandemic, as many more South Africans and their global counterparts look for new ways of increasing their revenue streams. Or perhaps you got retrenched or you resigned from work and you decide to follow your passion and doing this through becoming a freelancer, forming your own company, and as a result now having to charge specific rates for your services as well as maybe the products that you offer. But that can prove to be difficult when you haven't been doing it for a long time, when there isn't a defined market rate and the prices or fees aren't necessarily regulated. So this leads us to our topic for this evening as to how to charge for your services or product as a freelancer or contract worker, especially given the current environment and climate where businesses might find themselves having more room to negotiate given the economic crunch that we felt under the pandemic. We're excited to have you join us for this conversation and actively call for you to participate. Dial in on 086-000-959. You can also tweet us at Kaya on Air. Use the hashtag KayaBiz with 1Z to make sure that we follow through with your question. If you happen to be a freelancer, contract worker, struggling to add up the numbers and complete a rate card for yourself, call in. We've got one of the best in the game to give you some feedback here. Usis Nomazibulo Changa, who is a qualified leadership and career coach. She's the co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training. She essentially helps people in terms of the management of their businesses, helps small and medium and large entities in building value-based working environments based on values and culture and embedding these principles within these organizations. Sis Noma, so great to touch base with you again. Welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you, Coco, for the invite, and good evening to your listeners.
Indeed, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm quite excited. Last week, see, that's how often we want to speak to you. You really helped us shape and share some nuggets about different contracts, and of course, being mindful of the impact that that has on the working environment, how to negotiate your value, and putting that on the table as a full-time worker. But that's slightly different when it comes to the freelance as well as independent contractor space. And maybe let's start there by actually differentiating the difference between a freelancer, independent contractor, and permanent contracted employee.
I do find this very challenging at times because I do have a lot of people that I know in my circles that are freelancers and work as independent contractors, and they often have this question. So this is a very good topic, and I hope they can take something from it. So the difference between the freelancer and the permanent employee, or we call them independent contractor, according to the Labor Relations Act 66 of 1995, an independent contractor is paid to render a particular service and is not subjected to control or direction of the company or the employer with which they have an agreement with. So an employer would then enter into an independent contractor agreement, or it is also known as an SLA, the service level agreement, but not an employment contract. Mm-hmm. So the independent contractor does not enjoy protection from the labor legislation, but I'll go into the detail of that. And then the main difference is the nature of the contract itself, the fact that you don't sign an employment contract, but you sign an SLA. And an independent contractor regulates their own time, sets their duration of the agreement, which is agreed between the employer and the freelancer.
And you're quite right. There's great opportunities, but also risks that need to be managed, because whilst there are pros, there's also cons, and that's what we need to be cognizant of. I'm keen for us to go through that legal framework that differentiates the freelancer, contractor, and permanent employee, because as you mentioned, there's minimum protection for a freelancer, which is what they actually need to protect against when signing an SLA or creating terms and conditions within their contracts.
So the Labor Relations Agreement, the Labor Relations Act, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, the Employment Equity Act applies to employees and not independent contractors. So the term employee by virtue excludes an independent contractor or a freelance contractor. So there are certain benefits that an independent contractor is not entitled to. Benefits such as performance bonuses, paid annual leave, sick leave in terms of paid sick leave, paid maternity responsibility, paid overtime, paid public work. So it's very important for the independent contractor or freelancer at the time of signing the service level agreement, they regulate their hours, they regulate the inputs, they put in the deliverables, and they state when will they be able to finish the work so that they are able to get the benefits or derive those benefits while they are working in that contract.
And that's very important, as you say, because that essentially sets the tone of what your scope of work is, when the deliverables are meant to be reached and need, and that essentially forms the part of the critical agreement between both parties. I'm also keen to understand, Sis Norma, if there's always an avenue or if there's space and room to personalize these. And I say this specifically for individuals like myself who actually work or started working as sole proprietors and then become entrepreneurs, or are based within the services environment where you actively need to show up to be a career coach, a trainer, a public speaker, a photographer. And sometimes the kind of work you do really does need you to specify your scope of work to avoid scope creep, where additional expectations might be thrown on you that aren't in the SLA that you agreed on.
It is the case, and I find that, and I've also experienced it as an entrepreneur, a small business owner. So sometimes you find that the clients are very vague when it comes to the request. So you've got to then tie those loose ends, because they will catch up with you during the contract duration or during while you are in the contract. Yes. So it's very important to understand the scope of work that you are required to do. And that scope of work must be very descriptive so that you are able to understand and sort of put in a framework of how can I charge? What is it that I can put in? How can I get some time off when I need some time off within the scope of your deliverables with the employer or with the person that you're signing the SLA with? Mm-hmm.
Very important to make sure that is covered adequately. If you've just joined us for this conversation, well, make sure you get your notepad or a pen and a paper to make sure that you take down these notes, specifically if you are someone who works as an independent contractor or a freelancer, because we are sharing some guidelines as to how to charge for your services, how to schedule your rates, how to determine your working conditions and terms and arrangements with the company that you'd like to interact with, and making sure that you do that effectively to add value to what it is you do, but also set the rules of the game as to how it is you'd like to interact with your client. On the line, we're joined by Sis Norma. Sis Norma Zibulo Changa. She is a qualified leadership and career coach. She is also the co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting. And Sis Norma is really equipping us with some skills that we need to be mindful of as to how to make sure when you sit opposite your client, not only do you add value, but you're able to substantiate that value within the freelance space. Sis Norma, we've come to the big question of the day, and that goes back to how to charge as a freelancer, worker or contractor, because that's often the difficult part, right? People might think, oh, I don't have experience. Oh, I don't know how to gauge how much the market rates actually are and how much is too much. What if I want to add a premium because I do what I do differently? And it raises a lot of confusing questions. But how should we approach that process of calculating?
It does. It does. It does really, Google, because especially as you've mentioned earlier before the interview, that the world that we're living into, where we're experiencing a lot of retrenchment because of what we've just gone through. So people are going into the freelancing space or to work on certain projects, but they don't know, they don't have the experience, they don't know how to charge. So as a freelancer, quoting potential clients can be very tricky. And charging too much, you may scare your clients off, and sometimes charging too little, you may not get paid fairly for what you deserve to be paid. So when it comes to freelancers, there's a South African Freelancers Association, which is SAFRIA. It has put together a report that offers recommendation rates for SA freelancers. So I would advise that freelancers do check in the South African Freelancers Association and check the report and the guidelines with regards to the rate of the freelancer, South African freelancers. And when it comes to just a generic guide on how to charge as a freelancer, it's important for the freelancer to work out your target annual salary. As an example, if you were to be in a position, what would you want for that position for that year? So work out your target annual salary and make a list of your own expenses that you would want to subsidize by a full-time job. So it's very important so that you don't shoot yourself in the foot. And then calculate how many days you'll work for each year or each month based on the scope of work that has been provided or agreed on between the freelancer and the client. Then calculate the number of billable hours based on each month or based on the duration of the contract. And then you'll be able to determine your hourly rate because you are kind of working backwards. Instead of working, instead of putting out a rate that you don't know how you quantify it, mm-hmm. it's important to kind of work it backwards to say, okay, what's my ideal target annual salary if I were to be employed in such a position? And then what are my expenses? And then calculate the number of days you are required to be on that job for that month or for the year, and then calculate your billable hours. Then you'll be able to determine your hourly rate. Mm-hmm. But as freelancers, it's important that you also note that not all jobs make sense at an hourly rate. Yeah. Some jobs are really project-based. Like you are needed for 5 days to deliver a presentation to the board about whatever it is that you are required to do. You go in for the 5 days. It might not be required for you to charge in an hourly rate because it's a shorter term and shorter term project. So you might want to have a fixed 5 day rate instead of an hourly rate. Mm-hmm. So you need to be mindful and play according to the duration of the contract and obviously being cognizant of the client that you are servicing and maybe doing some a bit of research and understanding how they pay in terms of the freelancers in this space.
That's so important, Sis Noma. As you say, do the research. Could call around if you have to and find out from your client how they actually pay, because the last thing you want to be working for is exposure. Oh, Sis Noma, say as exposure. Oh,
especially in the entertainment industry.
Yes.
Yeah, people work for exposure because it looks good on their content, it looks good on their profile. But let's be honest, the exposure is not going to pay your bills at the end of the day.
Yeah.
What's going to pay your bills is that you've rendered a service. And I think with freelancers in South Africa, you've got to be confident of the service that you are offering.
Yes.
Because I think we kind of like to go for an exposure if you are not sure if you are rendering or if you are not sure of the skill and the value of the skill that you're putting in. So it's important that you understand the value and then look what other freelancers are getting paid in the market, mm-hmm. so that you are able to match yourself within the market space.
Exactly. Very important that you mention that. As you say, trust the value that you're bringing to the table, because exposure unfortunately won't pay your bills. And it's a fine balance there, Sis Noma. I think just in your experience, because you work as a career coach, you help people add value, you help people substantiate their value too. For someone who's new in the industry, is there a way that they need to manage those negotiations where they've got limited experience, first entrance into the world of consulting or freelancing and contracting? How do we manage that conversation to say, okay, well, you can't give me 100 rand, how about 50? Are there some tools that you can share there?
It's very difficult, Google, when you don't have the experience in the space. I mean, I'm talking from my own experience. When I started consulting with my clients, I really did not know how to charge. I remember a friend of mine telling me about the Professional Fees Association rate, which I had to look into in order to understand my rate. But even that rate, I cannot quantify it because of the fact that I don't know what makes up that rate. Because someone else did the homework, someone else did everything, the research for you, and actually gave you the recommendation to say, if you have this certain level of skill, you are in this industry, this is what you should be paying or you should be billing your clients. So it's a very difficult space to be in. But I think what's important is that understanding that research, understanding what other freelancers are getting paid, and not being afraid to talk to other people so that you may understand. But it takes experience. experience. It takes time and it takes experience, and you must just be patient with the process because you'll eventually get it right. For instance, now I know if I'm billing client A with a small entity requires a certain type of services, I know exactly how much I need to bill, versus if I'm billing a bigger entity and require a certain scope of my work, then I know exactly what to bill, because bigger entities normally require a lot of your time because of the structural and processes in their own organization. So you've got to be, you know, on par and on the ball all the time when dealing with bigger organizations. So you kind of have a sense, but it takes experience and some time.
You're quite right. Some of these things we learn as we go. We adapt as we grow as well, given the exposure we have. If you've just joined us, keep listening in, but most importantly, dial in if you have any questions. If you happen to be someone who's a freelancer, a contract worker, working in the consultancy space, get in touch with us. You can dial in on 086-000-959. We are in conversation with Unoma Zibulo Changa. She's a qualified leadership and career coach, co-founder and managing director of Ziana Business Consulting and Training. And we're really talking about how best one as a freelancer can not only make sure that from a contractual point of view, you can protect yourself in terms of the service level agreement that you sign with your client. Sis Norma mentioned there that you need to be very clear about what the roles and responsibilities are to make sure that there aren't any undue expectations that might be placed on you towards the end of the contract. In terms of how to cost, how to charge, that's the big element of our conversation. As Sis Norma mentioned, you need to go back to actually identifying what your target is. What's your targeted annual revenue? What are the costs included there? The data when you do your research, the costs when you make calls, the traveling up and down, all of those elements. And if the additional services in terms of research that you need to pay for, quantify those and add them to your budget to be able to come up with a cost and a fee and basic costs that you actually need to cover within your organization. If you need help, research, research, research. There is Safria that has been mentioned by Usis Noma. That's the South African Freelance Association. An organization that essentially helps you get further clarity in terms of the dynamics of freelancers. That's the South African Freelancers Association. And of course, we also mentioned the professional fees, that the website there specifically that actually speaks about how best one can actually manage their fees in the professional space. Professional Fees Association of South Africa. It's a lot of associations, but Google is your friend. Sis Norma, I think we've also come to a very important part, and I can imagine how you've had to help people with this as a career coach, starting off as a sole proprietor, maybe dabbling into building a small business, then becoming a freelancer, getting their paperwork, and the contracts get bigger and bigger. And this can also lead to tax compliance matters, right? We're in the middle of the tax season, and we know that this is something when not taken care of effectively can catch up with us. Ooh. How do we make sure we don't get caught up with the tax burden on the wrong side, Sis Norm?
So it's important, especially for the freelancer, to understand that they are self-employed. So they have employed themselves into the job. And freelancer work is often task and project-based. And after that project, no work is guaranteed. And also, then that's why it's important for the freelancer to decide when or how to charge, and understanding that you represent yourself. So that then comes to the tax compliance matters. So as a freelancer, you are responsible for paying your own taxes. It's unlike an employee who gets deducted a payee on a gross monthly income. So it requires the freelancer to be friends with SARS and familiarize themselves with SARS matters and the implications of the tax. And my understanding is that you can register as a freelancer as a professional taxpayer and get a tax practitioner to help you with the tax matters. You are your business, so you have to take care of your business. And when it comes to tax matters, you've got to make sure that you are compliant with SARS and tax all the time.
Definitely need to make sure that that's taken care of, because imali business akuyona imali yakho, you need to manage those finances separately as well. Sis Norma, I guess just to wrap up with, we've really been able to share a lot of nuggets and insight that we'll be sure to tweet and reshare in our FM Rewind. But some of the common challenges and mistakes of freelancers, what are they, and how best do we need to mitigate against these?
Some of the challenges of the freelancers is that they often get workload fluctuation. So sometimes the work is not consistent. Today you get too much work, and then tomorrow there's nothing. So the work fluctuates depending on the demand with your client at the time. So that's one of the challenges. So the freelancer then sometimes is unable to manage manage the time or how to regulate the work because it fluctuates. And the fact that there's no benefits, I mean, you've got to make sure that you get yourself a retirement fund that's going to assist you with your retirement annuities. You've got to make sure that you've got your own medical aid that you register by yourself. And the fact that you have to be mindful of the fact that you will not get a paid maternity leave. So you've got to make reserves for those times that where you need the money or where you need the time off. So it's important, and you've got to make sure that you put those in the SLA so that it's tightened up in such a way that it can help both you and the client at the same time. Also, you are responsible for your tax matters, so that's another challenge. Unreliable clients is one of the challenge. Clients that are not paying on time is what freelancers often get challenged with the most, that you deliver the service, you deliver the work, but you find that it takes 1, 2, 3, or 4 months to actually pay for work that you've done 5 or 6 months ago. So that's also important for freelancers to note. And also, some clients are micromanaging or can micromanage, and some can there's exploitation around freelancers, as we have seen in South Africa, especially in the PV industry, where majority of the people have come forth to say that I've been exploited while I was on set for this particular project, and I don't feel it was right. So those are the things that freelancers do commonly, get challenged with, and also unreasonable deadlines from the clients sometimes are some of the challenges that we get. Yeah.
Yep, you're quite right. And that really speaks to the kind of confidence one needs to have, not only in their ability, their skill, but even being confident to actually stand up and say, hold on, these are my boundaries. This is what we agreed to and what we had discussed and what we've signed off on. And this is what we will keep to in terms of our arrangement. Thank you so much, Sis Noma, for this conversation. I must say it is being noted by many of our colleagues out there at Morolong ZA, well known for being someone who supports entrepreneurs, helps them grow. Actually saying this is an important conversation about pricing for freelancers and consultants right now there on Kaya Biz. So we thank you for the feedback that you've offered, the resources as well. Just a reminder of where we can find you and, of course, how we can get in touch for those who might still be struggling in this arena of being self-employed.
So on a personal basis, they can log into my website, www.nomazibulo.com, and on the business side where we offer the HR services, they can get hold of us on www.zianaconsulting.co.za, zianaconsulting.co.za, and they can also get us on all the social media platforms.
Fantastic. Sis Noma, thank you so much for your time this evening. I certainly hope we've empowered a lot of entrepreneurs and self-employed folks. And for those who didn't get this conversation, do remember that you can log on to our website at kaya959.co.za. Click on Kaya Biz and you can get a refresher and a rewind of the critical tools that Sis Noma has shared with you. That is Noma Zibulo Janga, Qualified Leadership and Career Coach, Co-Founder and Managing Director of Ziana Business Consulting. It always goes back to working on your own fee. What are the costs that you incur in producing whatever service or act that you're able to provide? And then also making sure that you do your market research to make sure that you have the right fees and cost structure. Do your homework in terms of evaluating the Professional Fees Association of South Africa. And of course, speaking to players within the freelance environment and reading up on the Southern African Freelancers Association and some of the reports that they have. The resources are quite clearly there. It's just about having the right skills and the tools to make sure that you quantify the value of your service offering in the right way.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.